having landed. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This episode is coming to you from Australia House in London at a team reception for the Australian team at the World Athletics Championships, which conclude this weekend. We'll review the action and be joined by three members of the Australian team, Commonwealth Youth Games flag bearer and gold medalist Riley Day, marathon runner Jess Trengove, and young pole vault star Curtis Marshall. They'll be with us later in the program. But before we do that, as we count down with just 33 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. We start with the World Athletics Championships, where it's been tough going for the 62-strong Australian team up against athletes from over 200 nations. Marathon runner Jess Trengove produced the best ever finish by an Australian female to finish ninth in the women's marathon. Rising young South Australian pole vault star Curtis Marshall showed he can claim Commonwealth Games gold next year, finishing seventh in the pole vault final. Meanwhile, javelin thrower Kelsey Lee Roberts and long jumper Fabrice Lapierre both made the final of their events, finishing 10th and 11th respectively. Sadly, Jared Talent was forced to withdraw from the 50-kilometre walk this weekend, and Sally Pearson takes to the track over the final weekend of competition. In triathlon, fantastic news, the last-minute decision to start has paid golden dividends for Australia's Ashley Gentle with a brilliant breakthrough victory in the ITU World Triathlon Series round in Montreal. The 26-year-old Rio Olympian ran away from defending world champion and Commonwealth Games favourite Bermuda's Flora Duffy in a brilliant final 10-kilometre run to finish first. Gentle finally turned five silvers into victory in what she described as the biggest win of her career. The Gold Coaster has already earned early nomination for next year's Commonwealth Games team. In basketball, the pools for the men's and women's basketball competitions for the Games have been released. The 16 nations for the men's and women's competitions will be split into two pools of four, which will compete against each other during the preliminary rounds to be held in Townsville and Cairns. Cairns will play host to Pool A matches in the men's competition between top-seeded nations Australia, Nigeria, New Zealand and Canada, as well as Pool B matches in the women's competition. Townsville will host the top four-seeded women's nations in Pool A, headlined by the Opals, Canada, England and Mozambique, and Pool B fixtures of the men's competition. The complete match schedules for the basketball preliminaries will be announced in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, the Australian Boomers are off to a sensational start at the Asian Cup. An opening win over Japan, 84-68, was followed by a trouncing of Hong Kong, 99-58, to be just one win away from a spot in the quarterfinals. In squash, the Australian pair of Cameron Pillay and Ryan Kaskeli have claimed gold in the men's doubles at the World Championships. They defeated the number one seed and defending champions, Scottish pair Alan Klein and Greg Loban, in the gold medal match. Rachel Gringham and Donna Urquhart won a bronze medal in the women's event, and in the mixed event, defending Commonwealth Games gold medalists Rachel Gringham and David Palmer also won bronze. In beach volleyball, Australia's Damien Schumann and Chris McHugh have gone within a point of scoring a major upset at the Beach Volleyball World Championships in Vienna, but will be heading home having to settle for ninth position. In an important lead-up event to next year's Commonwealth Games, Australia is set to send the biggest ever Uni Ruse team to the World University Games, which gets underway in Taipei next week. 186 student athletes across 16 different sports will wear the green and gold, including Commonwealth Games swimming gold medalists Leeston Pickett and Ben Treffers, Olympians Michelle Jenicke in athletics, Brittany O'Brien in diving, Hemming Hugh in table tennis, as well as two-time Universiade bronze medalist Kia Melverton in swimming. And the Gold Coast Gold podcast will be coming to you from the World University Games over the next 2 weeks. And finally, sadly, Australia's golden girl of the track, Betty Cuthbert, passed away this week. Betty shot to fame at the Melbourne 1956 Olympic Games, winning gold in the 100, 200 and 4x100 metre relay. She won Olympic gold over 400 in 1964 and remains the only athlete, male or female, to win the 100, 200 and 400 Olympic titles. Betty also won gold and two silvers in two appearances at the Commonwealth Games. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news in brief. I'm here with Curtis Marshall at Australia House. Finished seventh in the men's pole vault. The young South Australian, you must just still be pinching yourself.
It's pretty insane, Dave. Yeah, it's a really awesome feeling knowing that I came seventh in the world. Like, I didn't really come to terms with it until a few days after I jumped that. And knowing that I was ranked, like, I don't know what I was, 12th or something going into it, and coming away with seventh, awesome feeling, best thing in the world.
You looked like you meant to be out there, struggle in the qualifying round. So was that a moment where, you know, in your career you're going to look back and say, well, I can do it? When I really need to, I can pull out a big jump.
Well, now knowing that I've had a sketchy performance and it still got me into the final, I know that to be able to get in to a major championship final like that, I can rely on, even if I know that I'm in good shape, even my worst jump can still get me into the final. So I had a pretty sketchy start. I had third attempt at 5:45 and then luckily cleared 5:60 first attempt, which scraped me through, but it was an average warm-up. I'd lost a little bit of focus. I was a little bit overwhelmed because the crowd was so big. It was intimidating out there. But I managed to come on top of it, get myself together, and then put it all together again in the final.
So in the final, the 5:75, you clear 5:65 and then you go up to 5:75, which would have been a new lifetime best. I don't think it's actually possible to be closer to clearing a bar and not making it than what you did. Have you had a chance to look back at it?
Yeah, I have. I've seen the footage over a million times.
How did the bar come down?
I was literally questioning how the hell did that fall down. It was up there for a good few seconds before it fell off. But, you know, I scraped it with my chest a little bit. I think I got a little bit excited and threw my arms back. And as you throw your arms back, your chest comes forward and scrapes the bar just on the way down, which is unlucky.
What is it about South Australians and the pole vault? Six of the top 10 Australians all time are from South Australia.
Yeah, well, South Australia must be the place to be. I don't know. Yeah, there's Simon Arkell, Dmitry Markov. We're all based in South Australia. We've just had a really good setup by Alan Launder in the past, and now Kim Simons has taken over. It's a really good setup we've got down there. We're fortunate enough that we have pretty good conditions in Adelaide. We don't have an indoor facility yet, but hopefully in the future we'll be up to like the likes of Perth and have facilities like that. But it's pretty good. Knowing that all those guys came from South Australia and I'm just following in their footsteps.
So first top eight since Steve Hooker, and of course Dmitry, who you mentioned, won the world championship, won a silver, finished fourth as well. Steve Hooker, who I know you talk to, he's got big raps on you. He thinks you're going to be the man. And of course the man means the next meet is the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
And you go in now as the number one ranked athlete. Does that change the mindset?
Well, yeah, originally I was just looking forward to qualifying for my first Commonwealth Games. But knowing Steve Hooker and knowing his credentials in the event and thinking that I've got a chance in it and going in ranked first in the Commonwealth, it's a pretty surreal feeling. Like, I can actually go over there knowing that I have the ability to win this thing, which is unparalleled. You can't even compare that to going into a major championships in any other position. Like, I've never been into a major championship like that, and knowing that sort of pressure is on my back, I think having the home crowd behind me and having my family and friends around me, I think I'll be able to overcome that and just use the atmosphere, channel the energy, and then just hopefully come out and, you know, win it.
So you've heard the crowd here whenever a Team GB athlete's competing, 60,000 people. The stadium on the Gold Coast will be 40,000. all cheering for you. Do you think about that in your head when you're training, when you go to sleep? Do you visualize what it might be like when you're on the runway, the bar's at 575 and the gold medal's up for grabs?
Yeah, well, after experiencing it in Rio and now in London, and hearing the crowd whenever a great British athlete comes on, or back in Rio when there was a Brazilian that was running, the buzz was just absolutely insane. You could barely hear yourself think. And if you don't have the ability to channel that energy and use that to your advantage, sometimes you can melt under that sort of situation. But after,
are you a melter?
I'm not a melter. No, I probably was in the past. But after having those experiences in my back pocket, I think going into the Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast, knowing that all these guys are getting around me, will have my back, I'm just looking forward to going out there and using that to my advantage, and then just hopefully coming out on top.
All right, well done here. We can't wait to watch you on the Gold Coast.
Thanks heaps. Cheers.
Riley Day, what a month it's been for you. Commonwealth Youth Games, where you get to carry the flag in the opening ceremony, and that was the main objective for 2017. And you do a fantastic job there, and all of a sudden you find yourself at the World Championships running against your idols. Amazing.
Yes, I genuinely still can't believe it. Getting named the flag bearer for the Australian team at Youth Com Games was just one of the best moments ever, and I felt so proud, and it pushed me along for that competition. And then once I got home from that, after coming second and then first in the, well, second in the 100, first in the 200, then coming home and getting asked to go to London was so surreal. I couldn't believe it. And then running against Daphne Shippers with the lane on the outside, I was like, I can't believe this. As a 17-year-old, can't believe it.
Just going back to Youth Games, what a great experience, a great team with other athletes from other sports, and all of the things that you'll get to experience when you're in a multi-sport festival, plus the 7 days it took you to get there. The travel was arduous. It was, and in Bahamas, which was a completely different experience. It just must have been, everything was a bit over the top and new.
Yes, the flight wasn't real ideal, but I got one of the best flight paths out of everyone. So, and a multi-sport competition, it was the best thing ever. Just finding out what the other sports have to do to get there, it's just, it makes you feel grateful. Like, the boxers have it so hard, like spitting into a bottle to lose weight, it wasn't good to look at, but my hat goes off to them for the hard work and everything. So we, Ella and I, made a pact never to complain about not eating junk food for 3 days before the competition. But yeah, it was a good experience.
And then, so when you got the call to come here, did you ever think about not coming to London for the World Championships, or was just that, no, I've got to go?
I didn't think I had a chance at all. Last time I saw Ella, when she was going to London, I was like, I'll be watching you on TV, like, run hard, go, good luck. Not in a million years did I think I was going to be coming here and running in the 200. I got told while I was at work visiting everyone, and I just didn't say anything for 10 minutes because I was just in such shock.
And what do you think you've learnt from the experience of being amongst this team, the Australian senior team, where you're one of the babies on the team? You mentioned Ella Connolly, who's running in the 4x4. It's what have you learnt?
It gives me a real taste of what could potentially be in the future. So I guess it makes me work hard, so it's given me that drive to get stronger, become faster, and just hopefully make it into the Com Games in 2018, and hopefully more future teams.
Now, you're at school. You haven't really been at school that much, but you're actually at school doing your final year. How are you balancing all of that?
I haven't really been at school this term to get any work, so I guess I'll be hit with a load of bricks as soon as I get back in a few weeks' time. So managing it, I did manage it all right at the start of the year with Nitro and everything, but I guess I'll struggle a little bit when I get back, but hopefully it's all okay.
And then, so this is year 12, so you've finished this year. University next year?
Yes, hopefully. I'm looking to the Griffith University in the Gold Coast. Not really sure what I want to study yet, so that's a few decisions to be made in the coming weeks. I think they need to be enrolled soon, but hopefully something grabs my eye, and hopefully it's for something really exciting.
So O Week would be in about March, which is about a month before the Commonwealth Games. How do you balance all of that? It's such a it's going to be such a busy period.
Yes, it is. So yeah, starting uni would be a few months before that. So training and getting ready for uni and everything will be very hectic, but I'm looking forward to next year as well for the World Under-20s in Finland. So that's also a goal. So next year will hopefully be a big year and hopefully some good outcomes as well.
And how have all of the older members of the team welcomed the younger members? Because Sally Pearson was a 16-year-old, I think, when she first ran for Australia in a relay at a World Championships. And, you know, we all know where she is now. And hopefully you'll be in that same position in years to come. Has it been a great experience from that perspective?
Yeah, definitely. All the senior athletes are being so welcoming and so nice. Just everyone has been so... They've given in that extra 1% to make us feel welcome. So I'm forever grateful for them to make us feel like we're a part of this team just as much as them. And that it's... They're... I don't even know what to say. Like, they're one of the best people that I've ever met.
And what is it about Bow Desert? Jason Day from Bow Desert? Riley Day from Bow Desert? You know, I presume you're not related.
No, we're not. And there's also Jamal Fogarty, who's in the Eels or Gold Coast Titans. I'm not really sure. Yep. He's been in both those teams. So Bow Desert's produced a lot of young athletes. And I don't know what it is about Bow Desert, but it's a small town. But the sport there is just, we've got a heart of gold, all of us. So we work hard for what we try to succeed.
Well, you've had a massive year, Nitro, and then running against Usain Bolt, and then the Commonwealth Youth Games, and then the World Championships. It's been great to watch you, and we can't watch to see what happens next.
Thank you very much.
So continuing our catch-up with the Australian team members at Australia House in London, and Jess Trengove, what an amazing performance in the women's marathon. Ninth place, the fastest ever at a world title, the best place by an Australian woman at a world title in the marathon. And that smile, which is always on your face, Jess, doesn't look like it's coming off anytime soon.
Look, I was really pleased with the result on Sunday, and it's just been a fantastic week here in London. I love Team Australia. I love wearing the green and gold, and I always know that if I line up well prepared and I'm in that green and gold uniform, it'll bring out the toughest mental, I guess, characteristics, because it's just such a special thing to represent your country. So I had done the work for Sunday, and I was able to go out there and just take on the race.
Were you expecting to be so competitive? You know, the marathon's an event that you've got to respect, and you know to get to the finish line is something special. But, you know, with 35 kilometres into the race, when the race is to be won, you were right there in the leading group. Were you expecting to be in that position where all of the main contenders were there and you were amongst them?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I'd spoken to my coach, Adam Didick, 2 weeks before the race, and we were looking at the preparation I'd had, and said, this is an incredible opportunity. You know, let's just have a crack on Sunday and go with the lead pack. We had some time, you know, frames and markers, and I knew that if we were ahead of a particular pace, it might not be wise for me to go with the pack. But the race sort of went out fairly conservatively in the end, and I'd been visualising myself up with that front pack, so it wasn't too much of a shock to me. It was sort of enjoyable to be up there and so engaged in the race. In prior marathons, I found myself trying to, you know, draw inspiration from, you know, little messages or things that I've seen or affirmations, quotes in my head, but I didn't have to rely on any of that in this race. I was just there and, you know, enjoying the moment. And obviously pain comes in, but, you know, when you're actually racing other people next to you, it sort of distracts you from some of that pain. And I have to admit, at 35 kilometres when I was in the lead, I hadn't imagined myself being there at that point, and it was a bit of a shock, and it's something that I'll sit down with my coach and we'll reflect on that race and, you know, what I potentially could have done in that moment to place even higher. It's just given me a lot of belief, and I'm really excited about supporting the rest of the team over the coming few days, because I think we'll see some pretty exciting performances.
Was it a tough decision to race this race? Because, you know, you've got such a great record here in London, and, you know, you could have run a big championship race where there's a lot of prize money, etc. And you can't do there's not that many opportunities, and with the Gold Coast just around the corner. What was the decision there to race this versus doing something else?
Look, I raced the London Marathon in late April, and at that time I thought I'd probably target a September marathon where I'd be going for a fast time to try and qualify for the Commonwealth Games team. And I crossed the line in London and I ran a PB and thought I absolutely loved this experience, but I run to wear the green and gold. It's what brings out the best in me. I just love being a part of the team, travelling with the team and running for the team. So I said to Adam, if I pull up well from this race, you know, is it something we could consider? And he said, absolutely. He said, look, it looks like you're recovering well. It's 15 weeks. I loved racing in London and I was excited by the prospect of returning here. And the decision was made within a week of finishing the London Marathon. And I'm so happy that we did make this decision.
I just noticed you've got the little kangaroo with the Australian flag on all your fingernails. Your performance here, other than Deacon Minor, they're the only other athletes that have had a top 10 finish in a marathon at World Championships. Deke, of course, winning the first one and Mona being on the podium. We go to the Commonwealth Games. Do you think about what it's like? We talked to Curtis earlier about what it'll be like to run through the streets of the Gold Coast with the Australian crowd supporting you.
Look, I actually heard Curtis's interview earlier and I did start doing exactly that. It's probably the first time I've really done that. I was just thinking, that is so true what he was saying about the home crowd and everything. I think it's really exciting. I saw how the British locals were getting around their athletes on Sunday. Ali Dixon took it out for quite a big portion of the race and the cheers she was getting were phenomenal. So I think definitely that will help the Australian athletes to get the best out of themselves. And the Gold Coast is quite familiar. I've really enjoyed racing Gold Coast half marathons in the past, and it's quite the streets are quite familiar to me, and we'll have that advantage too of being able to suss out the course and know the climate prior to the race.
Of course, the Kenyans will be there, and they're formidable, no matter who's wearing that Kenyan jersey. So you were third in Glasgow, and a tremendous race for you, and the smile again was there as you went across the line. What's the plan between now and the Gold Coast for you?
I haven't spoken to Adam specifically about it. I'll just have a week of chilling out, a week of maybe some really light jogs, and then Adam and I will meet. It's typically what we do 2 weeks after the race, and map out a plan. I don't think I'll run another marathon between now and then, perhaps a couple of half marathons and 10K races, and then we'll look at a strategy in the lead up, whether it be some heat training, altitude training, and races in the lead up that we can target. But certainly that April date will be the next big goal race.
Well, good luck with the preparation and hope it goes smooth. It hasn't been an easy road to get here to be fit and ready to go, and now that you've experienced it, you want to do it again. So thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
So that's it for this special edition of Gold Coast Gold, coming to you from Australia House at the World Athletics Championships. Next week we'll be in Taipei for the World University Games, where we'll bring you all the actions and catch up with some of the athletes that are set to star at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. So until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.